morning and welcome to our service today. Let us bring our meeting before the Lord in prayer. Father, as we gather in your house, let us come with willing hearts to worship you, with joyful spirits to adore you, and with open eyes and ears to see and hear your message today. Amen. Now, with our hearts lifted to God in worship, we will sing our first hymn, To God Be the Glory.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer, the promise of God. The finest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great's our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our worship, when Jesus we sing. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, to Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
Our reading today comes from Mark 8. 34 to 38. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and that of the gospel, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes into glory of his Father with the holy angels. In the reading, we are called to make a choice. The following hymn can be sung as a prayer of choice. I have decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. The nun go with me, I still will follow. The nun go with me, I still will follow. The nun go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? No turning back, no turning back, no turning back.
This reading is Joshua 1:1-3. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. And then the second one, Joshua 2, verse 1. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. Go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. And the third reading is Joshua 6, starting at verse 22. Joshua said to the two men who'd spied out the land, go into the prostitute's house and bring her out and all who belong to her in accordance with your oath to her. So the young men who had done the spying went in and brought out Rahab, her father and mother, and brothers, and all who belonged to her. They brought out her entire family and put them in a place outside the camp of Israel. Then they burned the whole city and everything in it, but they put the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron into the treasury of the Lord's house. But Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute with her family and all who belonged to her, because she had hid the men Joshua had sent in as spies to Jericho, and she lives among the Israelites to this day.
As Christians and churches, we are called to fight. As we think on this, we will sing, Rejoice, rejoice, Christ is in you. Arise, a mighty army, we arise. After this, Rose will bring us God's word before we meet at the Lord's table.
Rejoice, rejoice, Christ is in you, the hope of glory in our hearts. He lives, his breath is in you. Rise, a mighty army, we arise. Now is the time for us to march upon the land into our hands. He will give the ground we claim. He rides in majesty to lead us into victory.
The world shall see that Christ is Lord. Rejoice, rejoice, Christ is in you, the hope of glory in our hearts. He lives, Christ is in you, arise, the mighty glory will rise. God is at work in us, his purpose to perform, building a kingdom of power, not of words. Where things impossible by faith shall be made possible, let's give the glory to him now. Rejoice, rejoice, Christ is in you, the hope of glory in our hearts. He lives, breath is in you. Arise, a mighty army, we arise. Though we are weak, his grace is everything we need. We're made of clay, but this treasure is within. He turns our weaknesses into his opportunities, so that the glory goes to him. Rejoice, rejoice, his is in you, hope of glory in our hearts. He lives, his breath is in you. Arise, a mighty army, we'll rise.
Good morning, all. The word today is taken from the book of Joshua. The story of Joshua is a very well-known one, in particular the story of how God's army brought the walls of Jericho down without a fight. We will be thinking about this, but also about a person who was a help to God's people. Something I didn't know about Joshua is that his name means saviour. He leads God's people into the promised land as years later our saviour, Jesus, the Son of God, will lead us into the promised land if we trust and give our lives to him. Joshua was 20 years old when he left Egypt. God used the first 60 years of his life to prepare him to lead his people. 20 years in Egypt and 40 as an assistant to Moses in the desert. God commanded Moses to commission, encourage and strengthen Joshua to succeed him as leader of God's chosen people and to lead them into the promised land. Deuteronomy 3 verses 6 to 28. But because of you, the Lord was angry with me and would not listen to me. That is enough, the Lord said. Do not speak to me any more about this matter. Go up to the top of Parash and look west and north and south and east. Look at the land with your eyes, with your own eyes, since you are not going to cross this Jordan. But commission Joshua and encourage and strengthen him, for he will lead his people across and will cause them to inherit the land that you will not see. We thought that he had come to an end with Moses, didn't we? But like a boomerang, he keeps coming back. God spoke to Joshua and promised him he would be with him as he was with Moses, and encouraged Joshua to be strong and courageous. God also commanded Joshua to throw away all the false idols that were in the camp. Joshua's success was due to his obedience and faith in God. Before entering the promised land, Joshua sent out two spies and told them to look over the land, especially Jericho. When they reached Jericho, they stayed with a woman called Rahab. The Hebrew text suggests she was an innkeeper, while the Greek text suggests that she was a prostitute, as many of the innkeepers at that time were. When the authorities of Jericho came looking for the spies, Rahab hid them under some stalks of flax on the roof. She told the authorities that the men had been there earlier but had left. So they set out to find the spies, and at dusk locked the gates of the city. Before the spies settled up for the night, Rahab went up to the roof to speak to them. She said that the people of Jericho were afraid of the military might of Israel, as they had great power, and that their God was fighting on their side. When you think about it, it's not a surprise that they were afraid, as they only had to look across the Jordan to see millions and millions of people camped there. The people of Jericho had also heard the stories that God had parted the Red Sea to allow his people to escape from Egypt, and also of the defeat of the two kings of Amorite east of the Jordan. Rahab believed that God of Israel was the true God, and asked the spies to swear to her that when they had destroyed the city, they would save her and her family from death, her mother, father, brothers, sisters, and all who belonged to them. 2 Joshua 4:14 tells us, the spies replied to Rahab, "Our lives for your lives," the men assured her. "If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land." As Rahab's house was built into the city wall, she let them down outside the city from her window with a rope. The men then told her to tie a scarlet cord from the window she let them down from, and told her again not to tell anyone what they were doing, and that all their family must be in her house, so that they would be saved from harm, as anyone outside the house would be killed. And as soon as they were gone, she tied the scarlet cord to the window. Rahab then had to wait and keep this all to herself so that no one would find out about the oath they had made with her. With a simple act of tying a cord, she had assured her and her family's safety. Rahab had faith in God that he would keep her safe. Hebrews 11:31 says, "By faith the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient." When the spies returned to Joshua, they reported all that had happened to them and said to Joshua, "The Lord has surely given the land into our hands, as the people are melting with fear." But there were two obstacles still standing in the Israelites' way: the River Jordan and the walls of Jericho. I will now speak a little further about the lead up to Rahab being saved. The River Jordan, unlike the Red Sea, was flowing one way, and at the time of the year that the Israelites crossed, it was in full flood. This was a seasonal occurrence caused by the melting snows of Mount Hermon. At any other time of the year, the Jordan could be easily crossed, but God stopped the flow and the people crossed over safely on dry land. This easy crossing of the Jordan was a reminder to the new generation of the Israelites, the true evidence of God's presence and power. I always need to be reminded of God's power, as when times are good, I often forget that he is there and he is all powerful. And when the times are bad, you just want to get to him. If you want to know the story in more detail, you can find it in Joshua chapter 3 and 4. After safely crossing the Jordan, the next step was to enter the city of Jericho. This was going to be very difficult, as there was a massive fortified wall around it, which was tightly closed up, so no one could get in or out. God spoke to Joshua and told him to march around the wall 6 times for 6 days, with all his armed men and 7 priests carrying trumpets. The priests were to play the trumpets, but the people were told not to give any war cries until Joshua told them to. On the 7th day, they walked around the city 6 times. Then on the 7th, the priests sounded their trumpets and all the men shouted loudly. Then the walls came down. If you want to know more about this story, it's in Joshua 5:13 to Joshua 6:21. Joshua then sent the 2 spies out to Rahab and her family out of the camp Jericho. They brought her whole family and put them in a safe place outside the camp. They then burnt the whole city and everything in it. Although Rahab doesn't appear to be very important, as she was one of the lowest members of a doomed race, God used her in a great way. After she was saved, she turned her life around and she became a new person. She joined the people of God, married a man named Salmon, who was one of the leaders of Israel. She gave birth to a son called Boaz, who later went on to marry Ruth, who we'll hear about from Shelley at a later date. Rahab was an ancestor of David, and hers and her husband's lineage was listed in Matthew 1. She was chosen by God to be an instrument in bringing about the salvation of her family. Her lineage led her all the way to Jesus. If God can use a very unlucky person like Rahab, then he can use any one of us to do his will. God works all things together for the good, using the humble and most unlikely person to bring about his will. As God used Rahab, an ordinary person, to do his will, then he can use us to bring Jesus' love and salvation to people we know. It may not be in a big way, but if we just show love to our neighbours by little things like a phone call or speaking to a stranger in the street, giving words of encouragement to those who need it, all this is pleasing to God. So don't be afraid to do anything for him, for he'll give you the faith, he'll give you the strength through the power of the Holy Spirit. So please go and help and serve God.
Good morning. Let's join together in a time of communion. In a land far away, over 2,000 years ago, in a city called Jerusalem, 13 men met together in an upper room to celebrate the feast of the Passover. The leader of this group was called Jesus, hours before his horrible death, and his words at this meeting are as profound today as they were then. Luke 22:15-21. And he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it amongst you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for me, but the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table." In Corinthians, the words of Paul, after he is given the communion prayer, warns us about taking communion in the wrong mind and not putting ourselves right with God. He tells us that people died and were ill through taking communion wrongly. So before we come together in communion, let's join together in prayer. We ask our dear Saviour to forgive us for all the sins we have done, thought, word and deed. Dear Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus, we bring to you all the things we've done wrong and say sorry, Lord. We lay them at the foot of the cross where Jesus died so horrible for us, shedding his blood that we may be clean in your sight. So in his name we say sorry, Lord, and come before you in communion as Jesus showed us. From the words of 1 Corinthians, "For I received from the Lord what I have passed on to you." The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." As we eat the bread together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's join together. We thank you, Lord, for the wonderful gift you have given us in communion, being able to join together, remembering that Jesus died, Jesus rose. The wonderful gift he has gave us. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Now we come to our prayers. Father God, may we fix your words in our hearts and minds. May we remember them as if we have them written on our door frames. May we seek to ever share you with the lost and suffering world. We pray for you to intervene across the nations of the world, to overturn the fear and confusion over this pandemic, and to enable the leaders of this world to find a way to lead forward the people as you enabled Moses in the wilderness. Lift up your people to stand in the gap for the nations, as we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in the high places. Touch those suffering illness and pain during this time, and strengthen and guide the medical services across the world to be able to treat everyone and focus not just on those with COVID-19. This virus again threatens to overwhelm countries across the globe, and we need your mercy. Closer to home, Father, we ask your hand be on the grieving, particularly at this time on Helen and the girls, and Tony's other family members. Bring them peace and comfort. We pray also for Barbara's brother-in-law, Bob, who has pneumonia. Julie's niece, Rachel, who's recently been diagnosed with a very virulent strain of cancer, and help her as she faces the decisions about treatment and support for her family. We bring before you others known to our fellowship. Maureen's son, Andrew, who has a new tumour on his back. Baby Wilf, Ellen, Roy and Melanie. Mary's mother, Rena's sister, Hazel, Joan Beckett. Mike and Rose's neighbour Ruth, whose cancer has returned, and Dion and Dorothea. I also ask, Lord, now, as we spend a moment in peace and quiet, in our own hearts, we can share those that we care about and want you to touch. Lord, you know the circumstances that surround these requests. And we ask you bless each one as they need with compassion and with mercy. Mighty Lord, bring peace to the world and its people as we find what the new normal is going to be. Help us to learn how to respond as a global church to the world's changing needs. In the precious name of Jesus of Nazareth, we bring all these things to your throne. Amen. As our time together this morning comes to a close, we sing our last hymn. And again, this can be a prayer for ourselves as we go out into the world. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah.
Me, O thou great Jehovah, fill me through this barren world.
Let us say together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.